Roger Griffin withdraws as a Skagway mayoral candidate and files an APOC complaint against Dan Henry. And the NTSB's preliminary report of an August seaplanes accident takes a close look at fuel. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Skagway Assembly candidate Dan Henry now faces two complaints lodged with Alaska's campaign finance watchdog. The Alaska Public Offices Commission will consider a second citizen complaint against Henry, who is running for office in the October 3rd election. Skagway resident Roger Griffin filed the latest complaint. Until recently, Griffin was running as a write-in candidate for mayor. But on Tuesday, he withdrew his candidacy. He said in an email that the campaign was getting too ugly. While Griffin is withdrawing from the race, he is also challenging Henry's suitability for office. He accuses Henry of failing to report required information on candidate financial disclosure forms. Griffin alleges that Henry did not report gifts greater than $250 on filings in 2014 and 2015. During that time, Henry represented the city while it was negotiating a new Tidelands lease with ClubLink, the parent company of White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. White Pass controls a large portion of Skagway's waterfront and is seeking to prolong its agreement with the city. Henry and other city representatives traveled to Florida during negotiations with ClubLink. Griffin says Henry should have reported lodging and meal expenses paid for by ClubLink during these negotiation trips. Griffin's complaint doesn't end there. He also accuses Henry of failing to report debt in his most recent campaign disclosure paperwork. In 2016, Henry was fined more than $600,000 after pleading guilty to failure to pay federal income taxes. He was also sentenced to a year in prison. Outside of the federal case, Henry was fined $22,000 by APOC for incomplete disclosures in which he listed no income over $1,000. Henry's 2016 APOC case was initiated by a citizen complaint from Griffin. In his most recent complaint, Griffin asked for an expedited hearing since Henry is running for office. Griffin writes, quote, "Because Mr. Henry is a repeat offender who treats the financial disclosure requirements of Alaska in a cavalier manner, his fitness to serve is at issue," end quote. Now, Henry faces two APOC complaints, one from Griffin and the other from Skagway resident Lynn Cameron. Cameron's complaint makes the same allegation about Henry not disclosing the debt he owes to the IRS and state. Both complaints are on the agenda for APOC's meeting September 13th. Some new information is available about an August commuter flight accident in the Juneau area. The Haines-based pilot made an emergency water landing and he, along with four passengers, swam safely to shore. An investigation into the accident takes a close look at the aircraft's fuel sources. Early in the morning on August 14th, an Alaska Seaplanes flight left the Haines Airport and stopped in Skagway to pick up passengers before heading to Juneau. But about 3 miles from the Juneau Airport, the pilot made an emergency water landing. All four passengers and the pilot swam to shore on Coghlan Island uninjured. Haines resident Josh Poirier was the pilot. According to a preliminary report from the National Transportation Safety Board, Poirier said he measured the fuel tank levels before taking off. He estimated 26 gallons in the right tank and 11 in the left. He used the right fuel tank during the flight. Noreen Price is leading the NTSB's investigation into the accident. She says that should have been enough fuel to complete the trip. But as he was approaching the Juneau Airport, Poirier told the NTSB the engine fuel flow reduced to almost zero and lost all power. Poirier said he switched to the left fuel tank, but engine power was not restored. He ditched the plane in the water near Coghlan Island and was able to keep the plane upright as he and the passengers exited the aircraft and swam to shore. Carl Ramseth is the general manager of Alaska Seaplanes. In an email, he says, "I can't say enough about the pilot Josh Poirier, whose actions contributed to the positive outcome the morning of August 14th. The aircraft sunk into the ocean, but was later recovered. Price says the ability to recover the aircraft is significant for the investigation.
When there is an accident, we like to go to the scene of the accident so we could see what the wreckage looks like. at the scene itself and examine it very closely. While we couldn't go down to the bottom of the ocean to look at the plane, the ability to pull it up allows us to at least look at the flight controls, the fuel systems, the air systems, the engine itself.
An inspection of the plane was conducted under the supervision of the NTSB by a Federal Aviation Administration safety inspector. Cessna and Continental Air Safety investigators, and a representative from Alaska Seaplanes. According to the report, 2 gallons of fuel were recovered from the right tank and 11 from the left. An owner's manual on the plane said once the fuel level gets down to 2 gallons, it's unusable. Price says there's still a lot of uncertainty about the cause of the accident.
At this time, we don't know if there was anything mechanical wrong with the plane. In my preliminary report, I mentioned there was wrinkling with the fuel bladders, and that is an abnormal condition for an airplane. So we don't know what caused the wrinkling in the fuel bladders. It may have contributed to the accident. This time, we really don't know.
Price says the NTSB is not yet finished with the preliminary phase of the investigation. A factual report with a probable cause should be completed within 1 to 2 years. Ramseth says Seaplanes will continue to work with the NTSB while it determines the cause of the accident. Planning for the future of a major chunk of Haines' downtown waterfront is underway. The second phase of the Portage Cove Harbor expansion includes a drive-down sport fishing ramp and a 4.5-acre parking lot. At a community meeting last week, an engineer told residents that aesthetic improvements to the area are limited by space and money. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
The sport ramp and its neighboring parking lot will be mostly funded by federal money funneled through the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. With that funding come stipulations. The parking lot needs a minimum of 48 trailer spots and 15 car spots. There is also space needed for fishermen using new floats. It's the parking lot, not the sport launch ramp, that is the subject of most of this design planning work. P&D engineer Brandon Ivanowitz presented a few design options at a second community meeting. Ivanowitz said the best option is called 1C. It has 137 parking spaces, which meets fish and game requirements. And it adds in a strip of landscaping between Front Street and the parking lot.
This is going to be my recommendation, or my personal preferred concept. I think it's the best one.
More greenery was something several residents asked for at the first community meeting. But Ivanowitz said additional landscaping on the water's edge might be out of Haines' budget. He showed 2 concepts called 1D and 1E. One has planter boxes that jut out over the water, and the other has a strip of greenery on the water's edge.
To be blunt and honest, I think concept 1D and 1E are unaffordable.
Fish and Game has already agreed to pay for the demolition of Lookout Park and construction of a new harbor park on the corner of the expanded uplands. Beyond that, Ivanowitz said the state is not keen to pay for other aesthetic improvements.
Will Fish and Game pay for those? No. I've talked with the grant administrator and he said, you know, hey, we're doing a lot of landscaping in the parking area and we're helping to provide a new park. They said it's just not within the scope of our grant to go any further.
Haines would have to come up with several $100,000 to build the planter platforms or greenery buffer. And Fish and Game doesn't yet have all the funding in hand to build even the essential components of the project. Right now, the department has $2 million available. Another $1.5 million is guaranteed, but not until next summer. And it's possible, even likely according to Ivanowitz, that an additional $1.5 million will be available in 2019. That adds up to a possible total of $5 million from Fish and Game. The base construction bid is estimated to cost about $4.1 million.
And that would include the boat launch ramp, the boarding float, the concrete seawalk around the perimeter of the facility, all the curbs and gutters, the islands, and landscaping in the parking lot, area lighting, all the lighting for the parking lot, and lighting on the boat launch ramp, and the completed harbor park.
Haines will get close to the money needed for the base bid by July of 2018. Ivanowitz recommended going to bid and starting construction next fall. In 2019, if another $1.5 million comes through, the borough can complete ad alternates, like paving and striping the parking lot and installing safety rails. If the borough follows that plan, the sport ramp and uplands project could be complete by summer of 2020. PND will hold at least one more public meeting in Haines before settling on a concept design. To see a picture of the design, you can check out this report at khns.org. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.